Greetings, in Jesus' name. I trust that our hearts have been stirred in one way or another, hopefully in a good way. I appreciated the things that were shared here this morning already. Seems like seeking God's will and obedience, God has been speaking to us in that. I'd like to just pause and have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning that we can be gathered together as your people. We thank you for the confidence that we can have in you, and that we are your children. We're here this morning because we want to be taught by you. We thank you for your word that was presented to us already. And I just pray, Lord, that those things would stick with us, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would continue to teach us. I do pray this morning that you would, again, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. And help us, Lord, to take those things and that we would live them out in our lives. We desire that this service would bring honor and glory to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'd like to speak about what godly contentment, what that looks like. And as I was thinking about that and just studying, I came across a little story that I'd like to share, and I'm sure that many of us here have been in planes and have flown. Maybe not all, but if we've flown, we understand what it looks like if we're in a plane and we enter into a storm. And in this story that I read, this plane had entered into a storm, and it was rocking to and fro, and many of the passengers became afraid. They were fearing for their life. But in this story, this one man noticed this one child was sitting over in the corner, happily reading her book, with no fear. And this got this man's attention, and he went over and he asked the child, and he said, "Why aren't you worried and afraid like the rest of us?" And she calmly said that my dad is the pilot, and he's going to land this plane. Godly contentment is not something that you can see. It's not something that is based on the circumstances around us when life is going the way that we think it should. But rather, it is something that is hidden in our hearts. It's something that we can experience wherever we go, wherever God takes us. And I'm sure that this morning, that if we're paying attention and as we're walking through life from day to day, we meet those people. We see those people, and we see that they have something that is hidden in their hearts and that will hold them through. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, just a couple of verses here, going down to verse 6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." when we just stop and ponder these verses and just take them in for what they say, this is not what the world teaches us. This is not what the people around us that don't know the Lord settle for. But rather, they're looking for something tangible, something they can hang on to. When we think about contentment, it's finding satisfaction and happiness. And many people are looking for that and are unable to find it. And they keep trying different things, trying more of what they have. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, Nehemiah said here, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." So, godly contentment is knowing that God is your pilot, knowing that he's capable of taking care of you, and that he has my best interests in mind. And by knowing that, that's going to sustain us. That is going to be your strength. In Matthew chapter 13, we look at this passage, and it talks about here, it's talking about the different conditions of hearts and where seed is able to grow. And I just like to just look at that in a way that when we're living life, and how that as we go through life and we hit good times and we hit hard times, and that if that it doesn't have to be based on just the right condition to be able to experience God's peace and be content, but rather it can be in all seasons of life. And if our heart is settled on the Lord, I believe that we can testify to that. And starting in verse 4, "And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has." I believe that is true, as we that last passage there, that when we have God's peace, when we understand, like this young lad on the plane knew that dad was who the pilot was, and he had faith and trusted him. He believed that he was going to do what was best, and he was able to rest in that and had no fears. And likewise, as we go through life, as we walk through the dry times, as we walk through the hard times, as we walk through life of ease, we can experience peace no matter what conditions those things are. And I believe verse 12 is true. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. As we embrace those things and live for them, we experience peace and more peace. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Something that, talking about lies, something that we often think as human beings is that if we only were over here in life, or if only I could have this, or if something could be different, then I would be content. And my experience is that when I'm not content in my current circumstances and don't work through that and find peace and contentment in the Lord, that going over, moving somewhere else or doing something else isn't going to change that. It's not, remember, it's not the circumstances in life that enables us to do that, but it's the hidden thing of our heart. It's our trust and confidence in the Lord. Remember that the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, just reading a couple of verses here. Again, verse 7 and 8. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Just a little example of sometimes what our life looks like is we run to and fro seeking something, and we find ourselves empty. We think that hearing or seeing or that somehow it's going to bring what we're looking for, and we will find ourselves empty. In Colossians, I'd like to turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. This is the key to finding peace and contentment. If we seek after those things, it's just reminded when Henry was sharing about obedience and tempted to do something that we're not supposed to do, and how many of us have, the question I think was asked, how we've been told to do something and we didn't want to do it, and in our spiritual struggle, we know that God wants us to do something, and we struggle, and until we come to the place here that we're focused on what God wants, and we can yield to that and know that what I think I want to do or should do doesn't really matter, but that we find true peace and strength when we come to the place of knowing that God understands and knows what is best. In Exodus chapter 2, and I just thought that this was a good passage here, Exodus chapter 2, in first 10 verses here, talking about the birth of Moses. And I just, as I read these verses here, starting in verse 2, we see, just like for us to listen to this passage. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an art of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maids walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." So what does this passage have to do with peace, godly contentment? If we just look at this passage here, we see, in this case, the mother of Moses, that she was not in control of her surroundings. She was not in control of life. And it would appear like that she made the best of it. We don't see, where it doesn't tell us that she was doing, just struggling, and I'm sure there was lots of emotions here, but we see her taking life and making the best of it. And at 3 months, she no longer could hide her child. And so it would appear like she took this child and put it somewhere, so hoping, I'm assuming trusting God, that the people that came down to bathe would find mercy and love for this child. And basically taking a step of faith and just trusting God. And as we look at our lives, when life is out of control, when things are going on that are hard, and we're not able to do what would seem like the right thing, and can we find contentment in the Lord in these things? In Psalms 34, verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Are we able to stop and to take in God's promises and see? Can we go back and remember that God took care of us in the past. And so we can know that God took care of us then. We can be assured that God is going to take care of us here and now. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 and 25 there, so we look at this passage, it tells us here that those that water, those that feed plants, those that encourage others will be watered themselves. And so the promise is, as we reach out and serve, as we reach out and do what God would have us to do, that we're likewise going to be fed. If our focus is rather on ourselves, on our fears, the things that we feel like we're lacking, what happens? What happens in our hearts when we allow ourselves to go down these roads? We quickly find ourselves becoming unhappy and discontent with where we're at in life. And we forget that God wants to take care of us. In Philippians chapter 4, we see in this passage, starting in verse 10, Paul states here, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." We see Paul sharing in respect of want. He tells us here that he's learned in whatever state that he is to be content. He knows how to live life when he has little, and he knows how to navigate through life when he has much. And his secret was, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. The problem sometimes that we have, or in my experience, is that I go out on my own and I get myself in a mess. And so therefore, because I ventured out there and now I think I have to figure out how to get myself out. God wants us, I believe, to recognize that we don't have to. We can come to Jesus. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." Do we believe that? Is that our testimony? Do we experience that? Paul believed this, and he lived it. So we recognize that contentment is not having our surroundings just like we want them. In fact, Paul, many of the things that he's written was like if we were in that state, when we would have been, if we would have been locked up or being persecuted for our faith, what would our response be? Would we find ourselves rejoicing in the Lord? Would we find ourselves complaining? We have life so good. We have so many blessings, and we can live life so easy. And yet when one little thing goes wrong, or we feel like one person comes against us in a little way, we so easily find ourselves complaining. Contentment is a sense of well-being that is not dependent on our outward circumstances, but it is based on a right relationship with Jesus. Contentment is to know that God will never leave us to our own. In Romans 8, verse 28, all things work together for them that love God. Philippians 4, 19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Contentment is something that is not automatic, but rather we must learn to. And in Philippians 4, verse 11, there, when we read that passage, Paul tells us that he learned. He learned how to be content in whatever state that, whatever was before him. Second Corinthians 12, verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. His testimony is, for when I am weak, then am I strong. When we're not in control, when we can recognize that we're not able to be and that we give it to God, then we're strong. The dangers, the things to be aware of, I think, is in the world that we live, the world is constantly trying to push in on us, and the goal is to make us discontent. We need something else. For instance, and these things aren't all wrong, but when we think about walking through a store, the goal is to get you to buy whatever's in the store. If you're walking through the toll section, if we're not careful, we think of, it's like, well, the tools that I have, they're not new and fresh. And so we start feeling discontent. When we walk through the furniture store, we see the nice, comfortable couch. And it reminds us of those of us that like nice furniture. It's like, wow, wouldn't it be nice to have something new? And the same thing can be true when we drive through the car lots or we see houses for sale, or we see a job opportunity, and before we know it, we can be sucked into this thing. It's like, well, we need something new and fresh, but something to remember in all of that is that that's not the answer. Sometimes God wants us to have change. And sometimes we do need a new car. And we need new furniture. And maybe a different place to live. That is true. That is good and right. But the piece that I think we do well in remembering is to look at is why? Why do I want that? Do I feel at peace? Do I feel content now? Am I okay with what I have? And if the answer is that I'm not, I don't feel like I fit in or I measure up or I just feel like I need something. And if we go and buy that new thing or find that new vehicle or new job, it's going to go with us. And very quickly, we're going to be back in needing something else. And God doesn't want us to rely on that to find peace and contentment, but rather he wants to be that to us. So the question that I have for us, are we experiencing God's peace, God's contentment? And so if we dig into that a little bit further, if we think it's like, well, if I had this one thing, then I would be content. If we, so we come to the conclusion that I need this one thing to happen to be able to truly be where I think I need to be. What if that never happens? What are we going to do? What if that never happens? Will you join the many others that are unhappy, discontent, miserable, always chasing something? And I believe if we're honest with ourselves, that is not what we're looking for. That is not who we want to be. We want to be able to live life and be at peace. So let's understand what that means. If we want to have true contentment, then we must find out what Job had. Job's testimony in chapter 1, verse 21 was that the Lord had given. And the Lord has taken away. Job had lost many things when he made this statement. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I believe Job was, in the story that I mentioned, like that young child that was sitting in a plane that was bouncing around, and life looked like it was falling apart. This child had trust in the pilot, in his dad, that he was good at his job, and he was going to do what it took to the best of his ability. Job trusted God. We can clearly see that Job didn't understand what was going on at that time, but he trusted. Real contentment comes from God. It means having a living relationship, a relationship that is alive and well, that is current. In closing, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That, to me, is, it's not based on circumstances. We can do that moment by moment, wherever we find ourselves. When we find ourselves struggling in understanding, we can take those things and give them to God. And know, we can know that God cares for us. And if you are struggling in that, that you doubt whether God really cares, that is a lie from the enemy. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we desire to be a people that is at peace, that no matter what our surroundings look like, that we can have contentment, that we can know that you are in control, and that you care about every detail in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to live these things out and that we could be a shining light to the world around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.